So in following up with what Reverend Maria talked about last couple of weeks, she talked about how everything in our bodies, I mean, it kind of blew my mind that our bodies were breaking down every 5 seconds. Breaking down and building up. And so our bodies are like in a state of constant movement. So in following through of from her just amazing talk last couple of weeks, I went and I continued with some research about the body. So the talk today is on the body of God from the book The Essential Ernest Holmes. I fell in love with Ernest Holmes all over again. This, if you have the book, please read The Body of God. It is just so amazing because it just brought not only the physical manifestation of God, the divine God, the all-intelligent God, the infinite, into focus so that we can see in the present moment and have a life in the present moment, but he also brought our health into being, into conversation. And so as I was reading, Reverend Maria talked about things break down, things build up, the organs and all that, I just went ahead and read a little bit more about the body. So I have a couple facts on the body. So it was Hippocrates, the father of medicine, who said, in order to cure the human body, it is necessary to have knowledge of the entire thing, of the whole thing. And so everything in the physical world, whether it's animate or inanimate, is the result of some organizing factor. It is a purposeful activity, a formative element that indicates the involvement of an intelligence that functions in accord with law. So this is what we encounter in the body. The body, in structure and function, is a mass of dynamic material held together by an intelligent organizing factor, which operates according to law. Another one is that the body is a wonderful mechanism where there is no doubt how many of us have realized how amazing we are. So for example, when we are under stress and get into the fight or flight mode, very quickly our muscles become violently involved, ready to break down and to speed up, right? So that's one of the things. Our bodies adjust to the temperature, whether inside is cold or outside is cold or hot. Our bodies in some ways do some organizing, and it comes to the point where it tries to maintain our normal body temperature. We have particles that may be stuck in our skin, we get a wound, we get injured. Everything comes together, cordons off the infection so that we can continue our life while the healing goes on. What I really liked was from the book, Ernest Holmes talked about the little people that are in our bodies. He said, if we look at it, we can lovingly think of just tiny little people, maybe represented as cells in our bodies. And as we think about them, we think about all the work that is going on, without even us figuring out what is happening. So he said one time, if I could find it, one of the most popular psychologists, he said, and of course the book was written by Jesse someone, but it's all Ernest Holmes' theory. So one of the most popular psychologists in America told me that he once suffered from indigestion, and that the thought came to him that he could talk to these little people inside him and tell them that it is really their business to take care of his digestion. So let me just tell you what these little people are before we go back to the little people. So our bodies are, according to Jesse and Ernest, a chemical laboratory that is there to take care of us, to take care of our own health. In a sense, we might say that there are little intelligences within us acting as though they were little people whose business it is to digest our food and assimilate it, to circulate our blood and get rid of its impurities. There are millions of these little people inside our bodies whose purpose is to keep us physically fit. But there are also other little people who are not so kindly minded, and they try to tear things down and disrupt the work of the good little people. So he went on to say that all doctors know that there are these little people inside of us, and even though doctors do the best and give the best medications, that's all they can do, and they have to stay at that point and have the other people take care of us. So going back to one of the most popular psychologists talking about the indigestion. So he said, so he talked to them for a few moments every day and told them how wonderful they were and how much he appreciated what they were doing and that he wasn't going to interfere with them. He was going to be happy, and he knew they would take care of him in every moment. Every day he praised them and blessed them. And in a few weeks, his physical condition of indigestion cleared up. So it's about this body-mind relationship. And so, yes, the human body is part of the manifest universe, part of the intelligence that is God. But our bodies exist for a reason as well, all right? So as the physical universe is the body of God, and it is in the form as in the and it is formed in the mind of God, so too our bodies exist in time and space for the purpose of furnishing spirit. So it's like spirit expresses itself in us, and in order for spirit to express itself, because we know that spirit is infinite, spirit is everywhere present. And in order for physical manifestation to take place, it has to have a body. It has to have, whether it's a human body, whether it's a tree, whether it's a dog, whether it's a pet, spirit has to come through in different forms. All right? So obviously we chose our physical, amazing human bodies. And part of that is our bodies continue to be wonderfully and wondrously made. So that's why I chose to bring it on, everything new. We are changing in so many dynamic ways every day. And we don't even realize it. But sometimes in order to move forward and to maybe accept better health for ourselves, we have to recognize that it's spirit, soul, and body. So if the body is already spirit manifested in form, then we are left with soul and body. All right? The soul is that subjective part of us. You know, I tell people that our lives are like an iceberg, right? All we can see on the top of the ocean is just that little part of us. And that's the part that kind of keeps living, kind of showing up in the world, doing the things we need to do or have to do. But then there is this big wide area under the sea, and that is the subconscious. That is the area where everything that ever happened to us, every experience, every situation, every circumstance is nicely tucked away at some point in the bigger picture, our subjective, all right? And so it's from the subjective that we sometimes put aside the pain and the hurts in our lives as well. Sometimes we put aside the discouragement and the misfortune, and we show up at the top of the surface nice and shining, because that's what life is. We have to keep moving. We have to keep going. So part of the experience is trying to incorporate not only our spiritual selves, but start incorporating the soul and our body, which is already manifested. So the one thing we have to work with is spiritual and body. Although we are spiritual, there are areas in our lives that are doubting Thomases. Oh my goodness. Why haven't I gotten the things I want up till now? Man, I've been praying so hard. I've been doing all this wonderful stuff. I've been keeping amazing consciousness. Why isn't it showing up? Why aren't the things showing up in my life? Part of the answer is what have been stored in the bottom of the iceberg. What has been stored in the subconscious? All right. So some of the things that are stored in the subconscious are the doubts. So I have something that we're going to do today that is like a reassurance, a re-education of who we are. We are God in manifestation. We are spirit in manifestation. That is our strong belief. That is our philosophy. So the intelligence by which we perceive our bodies, guess what? Is the same intelligence that created our bodies. How amazing. Do we see any separation there? No separation. We have an intelligent body. We don't even have to think of what to do in our bodies when something goes haywire, or even when our bodies are really healthy. We don't have to think about it. We think more about our bodies when our bodies are a little unhealthy, when we're sluggish, when we, you know, we are like, what's going on? And so even as you see Her Royal Highness, even as Her Royal Highness puts on all the adipose tissue, guess what? Guess what? The body is compensating as we speak. I didn't have to tell the cells, hey, do a little bit more expansion. Try to get the adipose tissue in layers in the way that it would utilize the body without making the body ill. All right? So sometimes we do things unconsciously, but do we even consider what goes on inside in spirit? That amazing intelligence that we call God within us? So that's why part of what I'm here to remind us is that we do need to re-educate ourselves that we are in conjunction in a physical manifest world. We are working in conjunction with the highest intelligence. We have it inside of us. We have it around us. How come I can't tell myself that I am it, that life is me, and that everything I think about is expressing already? So we know that God is perfect, God is all there is, and that has to include me. Spiritual man is a divine being, and if spiritual man is divine and spirit has to be expressed in manifestation, in a physical manifestation, then I must be divine, all right? So part of what we are going to do is, as a reminder, is to do repetitions. Because, you know, they say life is a stage, and sometimes we got to act, right? If one thing didn't work, we got to try other things, right? So Life is a stage. We need to act out what we want to see happen in our lives, all right? So in any case, life already is an actor, because as I prayed today, I released my words. Guess what? The law went into action. It's already in acting form, bringing in which we call substance, which is that ethereal material out there. It starts forming it even without us recognizing it. It's those that are the little intelligent people now out there. All right. So we are asking for whatever we put out into the universe. And the universe, the law, cannot help but put things into place. Now the formation has started, but it also needs that constant uptake, that constant reminder that, hey, this is what I really want. So I don't want to put it out there and then turn away and then ask for something else and turn away, because then that creates ambivalence. It creates, okay, I'm beginning the process of forming what you want, but you're not sustaining that ask. You're not sustaining the faith that it's going to come to you. So, you know, that's why sometimes we dream and we keep dreaming. We ask and we keep asking. And we hope, which is almost the lowest we can go, and we keep hoping, all right? From hoping, that's where we go into the lottery. Oh my God, I can go and buy the lottery and I hope I win, right? So we kind of pull ourselves away from our regality, our regalness, that this is ours already, we got it. Bring it on. I just have to say the word. The substance is starting to form in the unknown, in the infinite. And with my sustained ask, I'm going to see it happen. Yes, it is a lot of faith, but that's how the universe works, right? So we are working with intelligence. So since the law of God is infinite from the spiritual point of view, what do we think of diseases? What do we think of incurable diseases, for that matter? All right? So our bodies are a real thing. We know it, we can touch, we can feel, we can pinch, right? What Ernest Holmes is saying is that our bodies are an effect. It is not an entity. And that, although it is, he said, it's yet to be completely proven, but our minds completely control the body. And so the body is but a reflection of the mind. That's a hard one to swallow sometimes. I'm not taking responsibility for this.
If I think I'm Christy Brinkley, I will be.
Yes.
Yes.
But you gotta believe it.
Yes. You gotta believe it.
Good luck with that.
I'm thinking Fairfax Hospital mental.
Oh my God. So although we do not discount bodily pain and sickness, we do not look for a law of health as opposed to a law of disease. There is only one indefinite, infinite law of health. And we say health because we are literally going into, health could be interchanged with truth, right? Health could be in interchange with a law of order, all right? And generally, if we have a healthy body, everything is in infinite order, all right? So we do not discount bodily pain and sickness, we do not look for a law of health as opposed to a law of disease. For there is only one law, This law is the actor, if we believe life is the stage. So act out what we need to see healed in our lives. We must transcend the appearance, even though we are admitting the fact that, yes, something's a little bit off, right? We have to act that out. We admit pain, we admit diseases sometimes, but we don't admit it that that's the truth of our lives. It is a fact because I can see it, I can feel it, and yeah, we don't want to end up in Fairfax in a mental unit, right? But the truth of our life is the eternal truth which we believe, and there are no changes with that. This is the one stable thing about God, that God is truth. Everything else, including our bodies, are constantly in the state of change. All right? But the truth is that there is always a law of good, a law of truth, a law of love. All right? So every day, so it is a fact that human experience over the ages, for example, this is an example. It was a fact in human experience for ages that people did not broadcast over a radio, but it was not a truth that they could not. So even though broadcasting didn't happen, it didn't say that they couldn't. They just didn't have the wisdom and understanding at the time. It was not a divine reality, because had they known how to manufacture a radio and talk over it, they would have broadcast in any age. Don't care, even if it's the Ice Age. If they knew how to do it, they would have done it. So not because something is not in existence does that mean that it's not there. All right? Behind it all, God is. Behind everything, perfection is. And perfection shows forth as our own bodies, as our own lives, as our own situations, and as our health. All right? So we also hear about new discoveries. Every day you hear scientific discoveries. But does that mean that new things happened in the universe? Not really. These laws were always there, but up until now, they have not been utilized. All right? So our new thing could be, up until now, I was not in concert with spirit to be who I want to be, to get the healing that I need to get, all right? Nothing exists now that was not always there. And that is a perfect truth, all right? So, there is but one mind. That mind is our mind now. It never thinks confusion. It knows what it wishes and how to accomplish what it desires. That mind is literally, as we speak, it is what manifests. So as we speak our word, that same divine intelligence, that same divine mind, literally manifests. It is the desire. It's the ask and it's the answer. It is the need and it is the manifestation of the need. There is just no separation in spirit, if we could look at it that way. So if we've had the spiritual understanding to, let's say, set our own bones, we would have done it, right? If we had the spiritual understanding to throw away our glasses and say, no more glasses for me, we would have done it. But that doesn't mean that it cannot happen. It can only happen when we get to the level of understanding and the concept of healing in our own lives. All right? So if you feel you have the spiritual knowledge and understanding to heal yourself and others, don't let anyone discourage you, because we don't know your level of of concept with spirit. We don't know where you are in demonstrating. Lavanya has an amazing outpouring of what God is in her life. And I'm sure just by thinking and dreaming, she can manifest stuff, all right? Her mind is unencumbered because one of the things is her age. So she doesn't have such a huge iceberg on the bottom that really clouds, that clouds her perception, right? That iceberg also consists of the consciousness of the population, of what is going on in our country, what is going on in the world. We incorporate that, and sometimes that limits us, all right? So don't let anything or anyone limit you. However, as you develop more keenness, more spiritual awareness, more partnership with God, then you can pray, you can do your mind treatment, but at the same time, you can put a Band-Aid on. At the same time, you can take your pills and know that as your spiritual awareness becomes stronger, that the outcome is always the same. So generally, the goal is a healthy body. And if you're going to get a healthy body by having a good, great concept, go ahead. Heal your own bones. But if your concept is not at the level of spiritual understanding, well, go along with the flow. Go along with the doctor, who is also in a form of intelligence. Take your medication, but still hold on to that healing aspect of you, all right? By gradually trying to lead your thoughts from where it is to a higher realm of consciousness is where you recognize your I am-ness, all right? So as we come to a close, repeating spiritual mind treatments is necessary to remove subjective doubts, all right? So we're going to do this in our next session. It's really a neat thing to do. And what we are going to repeat is there is one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. And I have a page for each person. And sometimes just concretizing the thought, and doing the repetitions can remove doubts. And so this is another thing that I am knowing more and more is about the brain has the ability to create new paths, new neural pathways. And so part of our huge subconsciousness that is under the sea, the iceberg analogy, is us feeling limited. And the brain literally takes care of us by saying, come here, my dear. Stay here curled up. Do not venture forth. Don't do anything courageous. You're going to get hurt. See, all these areas where we have hurt stuck away, that's what's going to happen. So our default is to fall back on the brain, and the brain keeps us safe. But the brain is also a coward. The brain doesn't want to venture forth into new pathways. However, science is showing that there are new pathways that are forming in our brain by rethinking our outcomes, by rethinking our behaviors, by rethinking what we do, and by repetition. So when we repeat affirmations over and over and over again, and believe those affirmations, sometimes just by repeating it causes us to have a stronger set of beliefs. So sometimes we just need a little extra prosthesis to hang on to, and that is by doing repetitions. And so it's like a re-education of our mind. It's a new starting point for us. So if we believe that, okay, yes, I'm the body of God, and I'm richly and wonderful and royally made, like the outside of me, right? we do not have to fully believe that, okay? Because a lot of our subjective comes up to cloud out that truth in us. All right? So we're going to do the repetition, and I'm going to do it with a music. It's going to be an interesting thing because I tried it at home and I cried like a baby. I was shaken because it was a powerful truth. All right? So when we come back, we're going to get into getting a good, strong foundation to restart, to have a new beginning. Since life is a stage, we can play the part too, right? There's no reason why we should not dramatize what we want to bring into our existence. Yes, we pray and we let it go to the law, and the law goes into action. But guess what? We can treat and move our feet at the same time. So put a little extra drama into our lives. Act out what we want. Go for it. Repeat it 100 million times if you want. And, you know, and believe it. Because we are amazing creatures and we are the body of God. Amen.